A couple of weeks ago at Tavern Theology, we played a little game. One person started to tell the Christmas story, not the Santa story, but the story that we learned from church. One person began the story, and then as soon as somebody else had something to add, they would interrupt, and they would take over telling the story for a while until somebody else remembered something to add, and so on. It was sort of a tag team Christmas story. And it was interesting to hear the various things that people remember and to hear the story not read from the Bible or sung in a carol, but just in conversation. Much of the ancient story of Jesus' birth comes from the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. Only two Gospels include anything about the birth of Jesus. Mark and John don't seem to care about how Jesus was born. And we hear these beautiful passages from Luke and Matthew as if they were descriptions of actual events, as if a scribe with a pencil and paper had been standing by writing them down as they happened, right? The scribe just happened to be there when the angel Gabriel showed up and wrote to Mary, and the scribe wrote that down, right? The scribe just happened to follow Mary and Joseph as they headed to Bethlehem and found no room in the inn, and he wrote that part down. When the shocked shepherds looked up in the sky and the angels were singing, the scribe happened to be relaxing in the meadow nearby, and he wrote that down. The wise ones from the east, well, the scribe happened to be in their entourage, and he wrote that part down, but it was kind of hard because he was riding on the camel through the desert and all of that. And intellectually, we know that that's not how things happened. Nobody was writing anything down, right? These stories evolved over hundreds and hundreds of years. And if we read the Christmas narrative sort of like a newspaper account of events that actually happened, then we miss much of what the story offers. It might even come to us like a kid's story that we do a pageant about every year, but that's about it. It might become sort of sentimental and perhaps a bit shallow, and we might become skeptical and a bit jaded, because we would feel that the story has less and less to do with us. After all, we live in a world where virgins don't get pregnant, right? Stars do not stand still in the night sky. We live in a reality that is not populated by singing choirs of angels transfixed above the earth. I mean, maybe these things happen in your world, but they do not happen in mine. We assume that the point of the Christmas story is to tell us about that one particular night long ago when Jesus was born. But I want to suggest to you today that the purpose of this beautiful story, at least in my way of thinking, this beautiful story that has been handed down to us, well, I think it has less to do with describing past events and more to do with a timeless message of enduring hope and deliverance. In other words, it's not about something born in Mary. It's about something holy born in us. And this year, the Christmas story has meant more to me than it has in a long time. To explain why that is, I need to share more personally than I usually do in a sermon, which is one reason I'm sitting down here on this stool rather than up at the pulpit. I'm going to be very honest with you and say that for me, the past 6 weeks or so have been really difficult. I'm talking, of course, about the aftermath of the presidential election. And I know that at least some of you share something of my experience in that way. Others do not. But anyone who knows me well, or who is my Facebook friend, knows that I supported Hillary Clinton in the election. I dressed up as Hillary for Halloween. I recorded a video parody of her singing 9 to 5. Now, I never spoke about that from the pulpit. You will never hear me suggest that you should support any candidate just because I do. I understand and I truly respect that not everyone supported Clinton, but I did. And as the election neared, I felt pretty confident that Clinton would win decisively. The night of the election, we had a party. Lisa and I had a party with a few friends to watch the returns. And none of us dared to say it, but our upbeat and excited mood revealed that we were pretty confident. I remember one person saying, "We could be celebrating by 7 o'clock." Of course, that's not how things turned out. We started getting really worried about 7:30 or so, and by 9 o'clock, all the guests were gone, and Lisa and I were sitting on the couch in stunned silence, alternating between sadness, fear, and anger. Well, we stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning or so. We went to bed as it became clear that Donald Trump would be our next president. And I remember I tossed and I turned all of that night, and it was so hard to get up the next morning. I heard from many of you who were also struggling. It was like this deep sadness and kind of hopelessness just sort of settled in for more than a few of us. And ever since then, I have tried, and mostly I have failed, to think up things to say that would help us feel better. But inside myself, much of the past few weeks, I've continued to grieve. A president has been elected, he's been fairly elected, I presume, who has promised to take our country in the opposite direction of what I believe we should be. And so it feels like the values that I fervently espouse, the values that I have dedicated my life to, have been rejected. The progress that I thought we had made as a country seems like an illusion now. Now, I'm willing to consider the possibility that my outlook is overly bleak, that it's not accurate, but I'm just describing how I feel, how I have felt. So that is the head and the heart space that I was in as we entered the season of Advent this year. And I started out writing the worship liturgy and singing the carols with some professional detachment, I think, as if this Christmas story was about ancient people with whom I had little in common, people in a different reality that was far removed from my own. But then at some point, I began to put it together. I mean, actually, it was as the choir sang last Sunday that something softened in me. I mean, this Christmas story, well, it's for people in despair of any age, for people who walk in darkness and who long for a great light. It's for the hopeless and the fearful, then and now. And if we are able to release the Christmas story from expectation that it is based on fact, then we can open up the timelessness of its themes. It can become our story. The Christmas story that's handed down to us, well, I just don't believe that things happen that way. I believe that it is largely myth. Myth, of course, is a story that is told to communicate truth. It's not factual. It's a story, as they say, that never happened, and a story that happens again and again and again. And the truth of the matter is that in every age, people despair. In every age, they cry out for deliverance. And in every age, something else happens. Love finds a way to be born anew, even in the most unlikely and remarkable ways. Which means that the Christmas story is for anyone who feels anxious or fearful or despairing. And the carols express our longing in such beautiful poetic language. Come, O long-expected Jesus, from our fear and sins release us. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by your advent here, by your coming here. The call to worship last week said, Abandon your old security and certainty. God is doing a new thing. We all said it together, but I wonder, do we really believe it? Or do we just sort of mindlessly recite it because it's in the bulletin? The scripture says, listen, don't be afraid. That's what the angels always say, not only to ancient people, but to us. Lift up your heads, be alert, be ready. My favorite Advent hymn is called Awake, Awake, and Greet the New Morn. It's in our hymnals. We didn't do it this year. It's not as well known as many carols, but the words are just exactly what my heart needs to remember during these dark days. I've printed the words to the third verse in the bulletin. If you know it, you can sing along. If not, just listen to it. It says, rejoice, rejoice, take heart in the night, though dark the winter and cheerless, the rising sun shall crown you with light. Be strong and loving and fearless. Love be our song and love our prayer, and love our endless story. May God fill every day we share and bring us at last into glory. This Christmas, I pray that we may all hear the beloved story of Jesus' birth as if it were written to us, that it ring true in our experience. Mary and Joseph traveling in the most vulnerable and precarious conditions possible, and a baby born in dire circumstance. Well, it reminds us that a life of faith is difficult. It does not always bring comfort and joy. It demands self-sacrifice. But if we are willing to seek, it is among the weak, the outcast, the dispossessed, that we will find the sacred. The Christmas story is for the hopeless, from inmates on death row to the person who feels trapped in a bad marriage, from the man with a chronic, debilitating medical condition to the single woman living in poverty. It's even for the person who fears for her country. The Christmas story is true. The way will not be easy, but deliverance will come. Love will be born anew. The star will shine. The angels will sing. Let us be people of hope, people who are always looking for the new thing that God is doing.